Well, I am so thankful for this opportunity. I'm very privileged to be able to do this. I count it a blessing. I'm so thankful, as Ben already mentioned, I'm thankful I've had the opportunity to grow up here at Hampton Park. It has been such a pleasure to grow up here. So many of you have impacted me and my family in so many ways, and it is exciting to have the opportunity to teach Sunday school this morning in this way of being combined and talking about Don't Waste Your Summer. I do want to say thank you for showing up. Memorial Day weekend I know is hard, and I'm excited that you all were able to come out this morning and that we can spend a little bit of time considering what God has for us as we think about our summer. If you would, go ahead and you can turn to Ephesians 5. We'll spend a little bit of time in Ephesians 5 today. This will not flow exactly like a typical sermon or message would. With it being a Sunday school, it will have a little more flavor of a school-type setting. And seeing that I'm a teacher, that works a little bit better for me. And I'm also going to spend a lot of time trying to give you helpful ideas or suggestions for application as we get to that. So I plan to spend a good bit of time on that as well. And I hope it's helpful to consider, and I hope I can give you some helpful things and that God would use those in your life as you consider what to do with your summer. Of course, with summer, there is the change of pace that Ben mentioned. And seeing that there's a change of pace, it tends to be a time that we get to kind of relax or check out. And of course, there's something there to be had. There's an advantage to that. But of course, one disadvantage to that too is sometimes we let that go right into our spiritual life. And immediately that's where we can see this major drop-off. We're used to a schedule, we have a set routine, and when that changes, sometimes that leads to not spending as much time intentionally with God and enjoying a relationship with Him. So I think it's really important that we consider this today and consider the importance of making sure our summer is used and that it's used for God. An illustration to kind of start off this morning. Most of you probably have some favorite movie. All right, so there's probably a favorite movie you have, and more than likely this movie, its length would be an hour and a half to 2.5 hours. And if you think about that hour and a half to 2.5 hour movie, think about all of the scenes used to make that movie. There's many, many scenes. But then for a moment, think about how many scenes or how much footage is used to create that film. The average premiere film, 2 hours in length, a director may have anywhere from 40 to 60 hours worth of film to work through, to cut out all the things that are not needed in order to give you the movie that you've watched. 40 to 60 hours, and some would even say it's a low estimate, but it's a pretty safe estimate. 40 to 60 hours worth of film. And when they go through these hours worth of footage, they'll sit down and they have their computer screen and they'll hit play and they'll watch a little bit, they'll pause it, the directors will talk, the producers will talk, and if it doesn't align with the plot of the movie, there's no purpose for it, they cut it out. And they hit play and they watch a little bit more. If it doesn't align with the purpose or the plot of the movie, they cut it out. And I think it can be helpful for us sometimes to consider our life's purpose and think about our life to a degree like a movie. Not entirely, it's of course not a perfect illustration, but take a moment to consider even your past week. Think about your life's purpose, and then think about what things in your last week fit with that purpose. What things were fitting? They actually contributed to that purpose. They would last. And if you sat down and you had video of your last week and all the things that you did, and you also included with that had all the thoughts from your previous week, and if you were to watch it, how much of it, when you pressed pause and you thought, did that contribute to my life's purpose? How much of that would stay? And I want to encourage you to think about that for this summer. Summer's an easy time to just lose a lot of chunks of time. You just waste them without even realizing it. And I want to encourage us to think a little bit about how can we redeem that time? How can we make sure that we make the most of every opportunity? And think of it in that way. How can we sit down, if we were to sit down at the end of this summer and review how much of that summer would stick, would fit into our life's purpose? Looking at verses 15 through 17 in Ephesians 5, we see Paul write, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And in verse 15, we see, "Look carefully then how you walk." This is giving direction. Look carefully, not aimlessly. You're being purposeful, intentional in where you're walking. Not as unwise, but as wise. So with an intentionality here, you're focused on how you're walking, on what you're choosing to do. And one thing that I would suggest, and I would propose to us, to not waste our summer, the first thing that we need to do is to set goals. We do this so often with projects and other things, but sometimes with our everyday life, maybe we don't always take a moment to set goals. As a coach, if I go into a season with no goals, more than likely, my team's going to be hurt by that. There's going to be harm without goals there. And you guys would agree, there's projects at work. If you don't have goals set there, then more than likely, you're going to suffer because of that. So with this summer, take some time to set some goals. Whether for an upcoming vacation or just for the summer in general, you need to set some goals for yourself. I think it would really help you in pursuing a summer that's not wasted. I would suggest setting SMART goals. And SMART uses an acronym. Some of you may have heard this before. So for the S, be specific. Be specific with your goal. Your goal must be clear and well-defined. Vague or generalized goals are unhelpful because they don't provide sufficient direction. So be very specific, clear, well-defined. The M, measurable. Include precise amounts, dates, and so on in your goals so you can measure degree of success. So you can look back and see that you've accomplished certain things. The A, attainable. Make sure that it's possible to achieve the goals you set. Now, this can go both ways. Don't set goals that are so easy that you get used to easily accomplishing them and you're always afraid to try a hard one because then you're discouraged and you feel like, no, I don't want to do that. And don't fall to the other side and set such a hard goal, like it's not even attainable, that then you feel discouraged because you can never accomplish anything. Try to find that middle ground where you can set an attainable goal so that you'll be able to accomplish it and you'll be able to be excited about the success you see there. R, relevant. Goals should be relevant to the direction you want your summer to take. Or maybe you're planning a vacation. Think about goals that are relevant to the vacation you're taking. More than likely, you're going to take one that's different than someone else. And more than likely, your family is different than another family. Think through goals that are going to be relevant to what you're doing. And then T, time-bound. Your goals should have a deadline. It's really easy sometimes to set these awesome goals. This is a struggle for me. I think and I dream and I think, oh, these are incredible goals. I'm going to accomplish all this. And if you don't put that end date on it, a lot of times it just never happens. Deadlines are extremely helpful. Without them, not much probably would happen. So set some deadlines for yourself with your goals. It gives you a sense of urgency and it increases achievement. It'll help you establish in your mind like a sense of, okay, this date is approaching. Let me accomplish this. And perhaps a goal that I could recommend to you is to set one today that by next Sunday, that be the deadline, you've thought through some goals for your summer. And we'll talk more about that in a little while. After setting goals, we need to make a plan. In verse 16, we see the phrase, make the best use of the time, or make the most of every opportunity. Christians, we need to actively take advantage of every opportunity we have. It's an active pursuit. In Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. The idea there is recognizing that life is so short, we need to consider how we can use it wisely. That's where the heart of wisdom comes from, recognizing this life is just so short. How can we use it? Now, if life is short, think about one summer. It's going to be incredibly short compared to eternity. But how can you make it count for eternity? What can you do to make it worth it? Make an intentional effort to be active so that you're actually accomplishing the good that you want to do. So make the best use of your time by pursuing every opportunity intentionally. Our time on earth is just too short to waste. Make the most of these upcoming days by having a plan on how you will stick to accomplishing your goals. Because after all, wasted summers are made up of wasted months. And wasted months of wasted weeks, weeks of days, days of hours, and hours of moments. So I encourage you, plan, set goals for even those moments. For your family vacation that's coming up, set goals for what you can do in those moments. with your children, or with your parents, or with your siblings. To pursue God and to let your life reflect your purpose so that it all lasts, it all sticks. In verse 17, we see Paul say, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." This is something I think at times we can misunderstand. And in this congregation here today, I feel many of you probably have heard this before, but I know sometimes we can still, we might think rightly about it to a degree, but our lives can look differently than this. And that is that when we see the idea here that understand what the will of the Lord is, sometimes we think, well, that's going to be really tough because I don't know what God has planned for this summer. So how could I know what God sovereignly planned? And the reason for that is there's a difference here. There's two different types of will. There's God's will in the sense of sovereign, secret. It's something we don't know until it's happened. I didn't know I'd be standing right here. I didn't know that very long ago. And now I'm here. And now I know it was God's will for me to be here. But I wouldn't have known that before. What you do later today, you don't know what's happening yet. But after it happens, you know it was God's sovereign will. That's not what Paul's referring to here. He's referring to a revealed will. What God's already given us in Scripture. Clear commands that we simply must obey and to fulfill following God's will. So to understand what the will of the Lord is not trying to figure out some amazing way of knowing, oh, this is what God's going to do with my summer, but rather consider what has God already told me to do? What has He already commanded in Scripture? How can I set goals to pursue that? And while you do that, you'll be in God's will. Following God's revealed will always puts you in God's will. I want to go ahead and take a moment to comment on my dad. He's not here, so I can talk about him a little bit. My dad and I are quite different in some ways, but as some of you have pointed out to me before, we're also very similar in mannerisms and some other things. But one of the ways that we're very different, and this is something I'm constantly trying to work at, is his pursuit of just, he's very schedule-oriented, he's very on top of things, and he's a doer. He gets things done. It's incredible how he does it, but he gets things done so much. And as a prideful high schooler, imagine that, a high schooler being prideful. As a prideful high schooler, I remember there being a time in my life where I felt like I was becoming more spiritual than my dad. As wicked and sinful as that is, I thought I was becoming more spiritual. And the reason why is that I was enjoying thinking about all the deep theological truths that were out there and trying to really think through them and trying to understand them and imagining how does God's sovereignty, that will even work? How do we know what's coming? How does God have everything planned, but yet we need to act? How does that go together? Thinking things like that, things about God that are just mind-blowing. And I saw other people older than me that were pursuing the same. And so I felt like, wow, I'm really becoming spiritual because I'm thinking about deep theological truths. And all the while, seeing my dad here accomplishing so much and thinking, why don't I hear him talk about doctrine more? Why isn't he more of a theologian? And theology is needed. Don't get me wrong. It influences and instructs our practice. We need to study doctrine. But what I had missed was I felt that somehow just trying to learn more about God and understand Him more was going to please Him, and that it made me more spiritual. And it was so sinful and so wrong of me to do that. And I'm embarrassed to admit it in front of you, but I want to admit it because I think it's a struggle that we have. We sometimes think that that's where God's pleased, because we're accomplishing so much, and I thought so much about truths of God today that that makes me more spiritual. And what is it that Jesus says at the end? He says, when He's pleased with them, He says, "You gave me food when I was hungry. You gave me drink when I was thirsty. You clothed me when I was naked." And they look at Him and they say, "When did we do that?" And He says, "When you did it to the least of these." And Jesus is so pleased with simple obedience. And what I had missed was how important it was for me to follow God's revealed will, because I was so interested in trying to study deep theological truths and thinking that made me more spiritual. And I was very mistaken. And I'm so impressed by my dad and what God's doing in his life and the grace that's there, because he's so good at doing what God's called him to do. And it's amazing. It's an amazing example to me. And God gave me him as a father because he knew that I would be the opposite. And it's so helpful to have a dad that perceives that. And I encourage us to understand what the will of the Lord is and to pursue that this summer. Here's a list of just some things that God's called you to do this summer. In His Word, these are parts of the revealed will that God has for you. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do good to those who harm you. Love your enemies. Abstain from immorality. Go the second mile. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Beware of covetousness. Go to those who offend you. Forgive offenders. Stir up one another to love and to good works. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, teaching each other and admonishing one another. Make disciples. Oh, and be perfect. Pursue perfection. 1 Peter 1:15. So I encourage you with all those statements, many of those simple to read, like three words, love your enemies, but really hard to live out. Consider some ways that this summer you can pursue fulfilling God's will for you. And then after you set goals and you made a plan and you think through ways you can do that, stick to your plan. Set up some accountability for yourself. You can do this two different ways, I think, that are most helpful. For you, maybe in your calendar, go ahead and set up some different times throughout the summer that you're going to reevaluate your goals and consider how you're doing. An alarm that's going to go off and remind you to take some time out of your day to think through those goals that you set and how you're doing in accomplishing them. And then I also encourage you to get with a friend, maybe someone in life group. Spend some time sharing your goals that you've set for your summer. Some ways you're going to try not to waste the summer and share that with them and spend some time praying for each other and keeping each other accountable to that. And for husband and wives, I encourage you, set goals with your husband, with your wife. Spend time considering how you guys can make this summer count for your family. And then continue to be accountable to one another. Help each other complete those goals. So as I mentioned before, I have a lot of application that I'd like to suggest to you. Some helpful suggestions that my goal in this is that you'll be able to consider and evaluate what for you is going to be best to do. And so there's a few more thoughts on that. One thing, write out some ways to get in the Word. Life is busy. And we all know this. We all know that life, if we don't set a plan, life just happens, and the next thing you know, you're going to bed at night, and you have spent no time alone with God. It's really easy to get caught up in all the busyness of life. So write out some ways for you specifically to get into the Word. I don't know what that is for you, but think through ways that for you and your schedule, you need that you can actually get in the Word. And maybe for you, that's setting something every day at the same time. Every morning, I'm going to get up at this time and I'm going to read. Or maybe for you, it's looking at your schedule for that week, and every Sunday night at 8 p.m., an alarm goes off, and you schedule for that week the times you're going to spend with God. Maybe your schedule's not as consistent, and that's the way you need to do it. But spend some time writing out some ways that you can get in the Word and spend time with God. I'd also encourage you to consider setting some goals of how you can seek community. God is a relational God. He shows it from the very beginning all the way through now. Look at the story of redemption. He makes Adam and he spends time with him. And he says, you know what? I've said everything was good. And then now I've mentioned Adam and this one thing needs something else. And he creates Eve so that they can have relationship and community. And then God walks with them in the cool of the evenings in relationship. Then we have the people of Israel, and you see God with them in relationship. And then, of course, to us today, seeing the promise fulfilled of the Messiah to come, we have been offered relationship with Jesus once again, with God. We can have relationship. So seeing that God is relational and He's about community, because it is Trinity, you see community, I encourage you, seek out relationships and seek out how you can be a part of community here in your local body. I'd also encourage you to think through some ways to avoid certain pitfalls. You know what yours are. Take some time to set some goals of how you can avoid that, or certain guidelines you're going to follow to help. Think through different pitfalls that typically come to you in the summer, or different things that you tend to find, whether it's laziness or certain sinful temptations or certain places that tend to make you struggle, or putting yourself in certain situations with other family members, whatever it may be, think through and plan ahead of ways to avoid those certain pitfalls. I'd also encourage you to think of ways to pursue holiness, striving after that perfection God's called us to. What's incredible is that God's called you perfect. I mean, He sees you as perfect. Right now, He sees you as perfect. But in this journey, as we know, part of our sanctification is becoming like we've been called. We're called perfect, and now we're becoming more like that. And I encourage you to set some goals of how you can see yourself pursue holiness. I'd also encourage you to write down some people's names that you want to share the gospel with this summer. If there's no one that you can think of, then I'd encourage you to pursue setting a goal to meet some people, to tell them about Jesus. Write out some goals in some people's names that you want to share the gospel with this summer. Some other goals to consider. Think maybe of memorizing some scripture. Maybe 12 to 15 verses, one for every week that you try to memorize. Or maybe half of that. Again, following the SMART goals that we mentioned earlier, think through some goals of how you could memorize scripture and hide God's word in your heart this summer. Typically, people have more time this summer. Think of ways that you can do that maybe even as a family. Here's one that to me sadly seems pretty radical. Maybe take a day off over the summer and make it a prayer day. Spend the day fasting, praying, and maybe do it with your family. Fathers, mothers, I encourage you, consider taking a day off to have a prayer day, to spend time showing the importance of that to your children and for yourself, to be able to spend time with God. Maybe, like we talked about earlier, making it attainable, maybe a full day would be a little bit much for most of us. So maybe for you, your goal is you're going to take a day off, and for the morning from 9 to 12, or 9 to 11, or 9 to 9:30, but you set a goal. And as a family, take a day to really focus on prayer and enjoying that part of the relationship God's offered us. I'd also encourage you in the summer, especially fellow teachers, invest in church ministries. You have time this summer. You're going to have more time on your hands. How can you get a part of the church and serve in different capacities here? Another thing I think that would be very valuable for families is to pick a book to read as a family. Not that you always have to read it together in the same place, but to be able to, almost like a little family book club, get together and talk about what you're reading. This could be anything from a fictional book to a Christian living book. I think of books like The Chronicles of Narnia, or Lord of the Rings, or I don't know if many of you have read Ted Decker, but I find him a really good author. I really enjoy some of his work. Maybe something like that. It's a fictional book, but that has spiritual significance because you can talk to your children about some of the themes and elements you're seeing in these stories that are mirroring the great story that we know of Jesus. Take some time this summer to perhaps read a book with the family and then talk to them about where some spiritual things that come from that and to consider those. I'd also encourage you to set a goal of connecting with someone for discipleship that's outside of 20 years from your own age, whether beneath or above or both. I'd encourage you to set a goal to have discipleship with someone that's generationally apart from you. All right? To start looking for cross-generational ways to have discipleship. One of the best ways for this is attending life group. I find that it's been really helpful to be with you all and others and to be able to have discipleship in those ways. And I'd encourage you all, have discipleship with individuals that have a great age difference from you. It's very, very valuable. Parents, a couple things for you when you're considering vacations. Take the vacation, but help your family not take a vacation from enjoying God. Take a vacation, but help your family not take a vacation from enjoying and pursuing God. Encourage and help your family pursue God through His Word. Another thing, parents, don't get caught believing the lie that your vacation has to meet some certain standard. Today, social media is great. There's a lot of things that it's really helpful for. But don't get caught thinking you have to have the perfect Pinterest or Facebook vacation so that everyone knows yours was the best. Or that when you look on Facebook and you look at so-and-so as you're scrolling and then you're looking at your families, don't think, oh man, it didn't measure up. It's not good. Typically, that's not what children remember about vacations anyways. So you know how I spoke about pretty highly of my dad a moment ago. He's one of the most spiritual and godly men I know. I did that partially so now I could say this about him. No, I didn't. For those of you that know my dad, he's a go-getter, type A personality. And when it comes to vacations, I just want you to think about for a moment what you could imagine those might be like. just for a moment. I mean, it is crazy. And everything is one thing to another, stacked on top of each other, filled to the brim with activity, nonstop action, one thing to the next. You hardly have a moment to breathe. And I remember when Ben, Seth, Sarah, Gabe, as more and more of these outsiders start coming to part of our family, I remember when our vacation started to take an interesting change in direction. And I remember how hard it was for my dad, and I remember how odd it was for me to have experienced for once a vacation that was restful. I had no idea what that was until that moment that we experienced that. Now for you, parents, fathers, I encourage you, think about your family and what's going to be most helpful for them. I personally fall somewhere in the middle. I don't know which I enjoy more. I'm a little bit like my dad in that I like it to be extremely busy. But I encourage you, consider your family. What's going to be best for them? And if you feel that maybe a combination of both restful days and busy days is the best, then do that. If your family enjoys the up-tempo, then do that. If your family enjoys being restful, then do that. Consider your family when making vacations. And then pursue helping them, again, pursue God even while they're a part of that. Husbands, I encourage you this summer, set some goals for yourself of how you can pursue your wife in a new, fresh way. Take her on a special date. Make her feel $1 million. Take some time this summer to pursue her in that way. Wives, mothers, turn time, which you rarely get, but times of relaxation that you do sometimes get in the summer, turn those into a time of fellowship with friends and other believers. Turn other times of relaxation into fellowship with God and enjoy Him as you relax. Put extra time and focus into discipling your children. Mothers, maybe this summer, more so than ever, you set a goal to, however often it may be for you, sit down and talk to your children about what they're reading and what's going on in their life. Because they have so much more time than they usually do. Take advantage of it. I'd encourage you, mothers, I know mothers are so good at being prayer warriors, I'd encourage you to even spend extra time this summer praying with your children, not just for them. Maybe that's the goal you set. You want to pray with your children this summer, not just for them. Husbands, I encourage you, as your wives are pursuing new goals, to help them, continue to support them and encourage them in these goals. Help them as they spend time with your children. Teens, this summer, do something that's incredibly hard for teens. I know, it wasn't that long ago that I was one. And be a provider. Be a provider. I encourage you, don't just be a consumer. I remember my youth pastor, Jeremy Morris, so you all know him. I remember when he encouraged me to do that. And I remember it didn't really hit me that hard until much later than he had said that. And I realized just how much of a consumer I was and how little I provided around the house. Teens, with your extra time this summer, think of some goals you can do to be a provider. Maybe talk to your parents and ask them what projects they really want to get done this summer and set some goals of getting those accomplished. Teens, I know that Pastor Gearhart has given you a goal of reading through the gospel primer. And church, I encourage you, the gospel primer. It works out so that there's about one little section to read for every day of the summer. It almost works out just right. I encourage you, pursue that. Spend time on the gospel this summer. When I think about teens, something I think about this summer is typically camp. And if any of you have experienced camp like I have, or have talked to a teen who's experienced it like I have, camp tends to be a time of spiritual highs. Teens come back, and they've made so many decisions, and they are in love with God. And they come back, and they are so excited about Him, and it's extremely contagious. But what tends to happen? It tends to fade. And the thing I try to encourage students with, and teens with, is think for a moment about what makes you so excited about God for that week. What makes it so different for that week than everything else in the year? And I think it's because for once your priorities are so shifted, and so many of the distractions are gone, and you get to enjoy God with other people who are enjoying God, and the peer pressure there tends to be a positive one towards enjoying God. And so at camp, there tends to be that spiritual high. And I encourage us as a church to consider how this summer we can think through goals and we can get rid of distractions to enjoy God and to enjoy a spiritual high all the time as we constantly are growing, pursuing God. Singles, young married, I encourage you, find those teens that are not in school or other school-age children and find a chance to discipleship to disciple them. Maybe that's through a ministry here at Hampton Park, or maybe that's just meeting up with them at a Chick-fil-A in town. But find ways to disciple them. Also, for singles and young married, I encourage you, seek out discipleship opportunities with those older than you. Go talk to them. This is something that's incredibly intimidating, but I'm telling you, it would be worth it. It would be worth to seek out those opportunities to be discipled by someone older than you. Grandparents, I encourage you, find teens, college-age students, and those who are around you that have more time on their hands now, and meet with them, pray with them. Just like I'm encouraging youth to pursue relationship with you, I encourage you, older generation, pursue relationship with us. It is intimidating for us, and I'm sure it can be the same for you, but I'd love to see both the older and younger generations here spend time setting goals for this summer to build discipleship and then making it happen and seeing those come to fruition. I encourage you, find ways to seek out discipleship with one another. Grandparents, I also encourage you, spend time with your grandkids. And since they have more time during the summer, spend time talking to them about how they're spending it. Spend time being somebody that has years of wisdom and share it with them. Share with them God's goodness and what He's done for you in your life. Find time to meet with them and ask your children for their children for some time. Bring them to me and talk to them and share with them all of God's goodness and what He's done for you. And I encourage you to encourage the next generation. Teachers, fellow teachers, I encourage you, set some goals for this summer to find ways that you can still continue to serve. I know that during the year it gets really hectic and crazy, very busy, and sometimes you reach the point that it's frustrating because you feel like you're here to do ministry, wherever you're teaching, and you almost don't have time to even do that because of all the responsibilities that are involved. I encourage you to take this opportunity in this summer, yes, to get rest and to be renewed, but also to pursue some of the students that during the year you were able to teach, now reach into their life. Have some extra time on your hands and now use it to enjoy a relationship with them and to encourage them. I'd also encourage teachers, something I'm trying to encourage myself with, to set some goals of how you can be a part of maybe some different projects at home and how you can be a benefit to your family in that way. Think of other family members that need love and time and someone to listen to them and spend time pursuing that. Spouses of teachers, I encourage you, sit down with them. Sit down with your spouse. Talk to them about how this summer is going to be different and consider together what type of goals you can set that they'll have extra time to pursue. So that's an unwasted summer and so that they can help each other. I pray that God, by God's grace, with all these different suggestions I've made, you'll be able to consider and think about what goals you could set for this summer of 2016 and to make it one that counts. Again, going back to the movie illustration, I would love it if at the end of the summer you could look back over it and be really excited to feel that so much of it fit with your purpose. And it counted. And it would stick. It would stay. It would be a part of the movie because it's pursuing God's glory. So by God's grace, I hope that you'll be able to make the most of this summer and that you will not waste it. Let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. God, we love you and we thank you that we can come to you this morning knowing that we are in desperate need of your grace and that you're freely offering it to us. We talk to you because of Jesus, and Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. And God, we ask you that you would work in us, that this summer would not be wasted. I pray that you would help us to set goals, to make plans, to see to it, to set accountability, to help ourselves stick to the plan. I pray that we think through ways to make this summer unwasted, to make our vacations unwasted, and that we would pour into those around us and find ways to build each other up and push each other towards love and good works. God, would you put your Spirit in us, and would you allow Him to enable us and give us power so that we can fulfill these different goals? And would you receive the glory from it? We love you so much. Amen.